Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things that people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see what you can save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
4th of July savings are here at the Home Depot, so it's time to get your grilling on. Pick up the Traeger Pro Series 22 Pellet Grill and Smoker, now on special buy for $389, was $549. Smoke a rack of ribs or bake an apple pie, this grill is versatile enough to do it all. This summer, no matter how you like your steaks, your barbecues are guaranteed to be well done. Celebrate 4th of July with fast free delivery on select grills right now at the Home Depot. Subject to availability.
Mystery. I am your host.
We're not restarting anymore. This is the third go around. We had this thing. Go ahead, Kelly. What were we going to do? Ready?
Welcome back to Mama Mystery and happy Halloween. I am your host, Kelly.
And I am your awesome co-host, Austin.
Oh, man.
Kelly, read them the review about people loving me.
Oh my God. Okay, well, we got a couple new reviews. This actually wasn't a review, though. The reviews, we did get some good ones, but this was a message through our mamamystery.com site where you can like request a case. Mm-hmm. And this person is Allison.
Shout out, Allison. Thanks.
She like completely blew Austin's head up. So we're going to go ahead and read this message. It says, would you like to read it, Austin?
No, go ahead. I don't know how to read.
Okay. I love your show. Austin is awesome. He is too funny. I love how you give a hard time and bust his balls, but he cracks me up. I don't know what it is because he's not really that funny. He just for some reason comes out with the most random comments. I love it. I'm excited. I love your show.
I think that's a really nice backhanded compliment. Thanks, Allison.
I don't know why I find it so funny. It's like the sweetest thing. It is so funny to me. Like, he's so funny, and he's not actually that funny, but he's funny. Right. I love it. So thank you, Allison, for taking time out of your day to send that to us. And we have some new Patreons to thank. Are you ready, Austin?
Let's do it.
Okay, we have Rebecca Douglas.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Kara McAnally.
Very cool.
Brooke Miles.
Dope.
Maria Ortiz.
Hell yeah.
Tori.
Okay.
And Tori, no last name.
Okay.
Just, yay.
Still dope.
Awesome. Angelina Trader.
Well, hell yes. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
You know what we could use, Kelly?
What?
Some reviews.
Well, we got a couple of new reviews, and they were really good.
I know. People, keep the reviews coming, please. We really enjoy them. I wake up, Kelly sends them to me, and yeah.
It starts our day off on the right foot, for sure.
Let's dive in so the new listeners don't think that we lollygag every episode.
Right. Okay, so this was requested by Ray. Thank you, Ray, for your request.
Does Ray have a last name?
I don't know. So this episode...
What if we got a request from somebody like... This is requested from Ray, and this episode is about a guy named Ray, and he was a killer, and he was wanting us to cover him for attention. That'd be some wild shit. Some wild shit. Go ahead.
That would be wild. Okay, anyway, this is about Joe Metheny. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No,
you haven't. Okay, so just say no. So I'm going to tell you about him, okay?
Quit being a smartass, number one. And number two, I'm about to kind of lay down on the floor and probably not be near the mic for a little while. Go.
All right, well, Joseph Roy Metheny was born on March 2nd, 1954, in Baltimore, Maryland. He was one of six kids. Joe's father was, unfortunately, an alcoholic. And when Joe was only 6 years old, his father was killed in a car accident. So after his death, his mother, Jean, really struggled to keep their heads above water. So she worked all the time, doing various jobs like waitressing, bartending, driving a food truck even. Her constant work schedule ultimately kind of neglected the kids at home, so Joe and his siblings were often sent to live with other families for various periods of time. In school, Joe was an above-average student who was polite and gentle. He always exhibited good manners in school, but by the 1970s, Joe left the family to go be on his own. He joined the Army in 1973 when he was 19 years old. And while he was in the Army, he studied physics, and he claims that he was stationed in Vietnam for some period of time, but there's not an actual record of that. So we don't know what the truth is there, but we know that regardless of where he was, it was at this time he became hooked on cocaine and heroin. After his stint in the military, he came home to Baltimore. And it was here that he drifted through homeless camps, sleeping in filthy tents or in sleeping bags under bridges, and he made no attempt to contact any of his family. Throughout the camp, he was known for his drug use and his temper. He was 6'1" and really overweight, and I'm talking like 450 pounds.
Sheesh.
So he had a very domineering presence amongst this community, but somehow, despite being a homeless drug addict, I'm sorry, it's not funny. It's just this whole story is going to blow your mind because I keep asking myself how. So despite being homeless and a drug addict, addicted to cocaine and heroin, he was able to get a job as a forklift driver. And he held that job pretty well, earning a reputation for being dependable, intelligent, well-spoken, and very well-mannered. Okay, how? I don't know. Eventually, Joe meets this lady named Latifah. I'm pretty sure that is her name. It was really hard to find a lot of the specific information about the people involved in his life and his victims, but I'm pretty sure her name was Latifah. But anyway, Latifah unfortunately struggled with addiction as well. But regardless, they fell in love, they got married, and they ended up having a son together. 6 years go by, and Joe is maintaining his job as a forklift driver. He's able to support his family by keeping a roof over their heads, but sadly, he and his wife are still badly addicted to drugs. And then one night in July of 1994, Joe gets home from work. It's late, and when he opens the door to his house, he sees that everything in his house, including his wife and child, are gone. And he realizes she took everything and left him. This sent Joe into an absolute rage. He was determined to find her and his son and get back at her for what she's done to him. So he goes to all their usual places. Notably, he goes to their frequent trap house to see if he can figure out where she went. One of their drug dealers tells him that she's with some guy who's pimping her out on the other side of town. So he goes then to this bridge, and it's known as the Hanover Street Bridge. And under this bridge, he doesn't find his ex, but he does find two homeless guys that allegedly were getting high with his ex before. Their names were Randall Brewer and Randy Piker. He asked them if they've seen his ex, and they say no. And not satisfied with that answer, Joe goes and finds an axe. He comes back to the bridge, and he finds these two men passed out under a mattress or on a mattress under the bridge. And he attacks them both with this axe, killing them and then leaving their bodies right there on the mattress under the bridge.
Good Lord, that's gruesome.
Yeah, just wait. That same night, he runs into a sex worker and lures her to the bridge where he just killed those two men. He admits that he lured her there under the guise of giving her drugs. He got her high, and then he tried to get information out of her regarding his ex's whereabouts, but she wasn't able to help him. So he admitted later on that he beat, raped, and killed her. And then he went out and sought another victim. He found another sex worker, did the exact same thing to her as he did the previous one. And after he killed her, he attempted to put her body in the bushes along a riverbank and noticed that there was a man fishing down there who happened, literally just so happened, to look up and make eye contact with Joe. So Joe grabbed a steel pipe that was laying on the ground, ran up to him, and hit the man over the head with a pipe. And then he tied his body to rocks and threw him.
You said throwed. If I said that, I would get ridiculed. Go ahead, continue.
Threw him in the river along with the other two women that he put in the bushes. 5 murders in 7 hours. And get this, Austin, he was actually arrested for the murders of the two men who were found on the mattress. And he sat in jail for about 1.5 years awaiting trial for those murders. But ultimately, the trial lasted about 1 week, and he was acquitted due to lack of evidence. So he was let go, even though he's allegedly told law enforcement that he committed 3 other murders that same night. But I couldn't figure out if he admitted to that before or after this trial. He also admitted that they weren't even his first victims. His first victim was actually 1 year prior in 1994 when he claimed that he murdered a sex worker named Kathy Ann Magaziner and buried her body in a shallow grave at the factory where he worked. 6 months after burying her, he returned to the gravesite, dug up her body, and took her head, placed her head in a box, and threw it in the trash.
Oh my gosh.
That's
like,
is
that might
so
be the
crazy.
Most gruesome thing you've ever said.
Oh, Austin, it gets worse.
Oh, great. I can't wait.
Joe eventually found out where his ex and child were. So about 6 months after she took off, he found out that she was living on the other side of town with this man who was prostituting her out for drugs, and that the child was taken away and given to the state. Joe knew, though, that he didn't stand a chance going to Child Protective Services with his criminal record, his current condition being addicted to drugs. He knew he didn't stand a chance. But even after he learned this, his motivation to kill and that rage for wanting revenge on his ex, he went from having that as his motivation to kill to then just literally saying he started killing because he enjoyed it and that he got a thrill out of it, that he got a high out of it, and that was his only motivation. In November of 1996, Joe killed a woman named Kimberly Lynn Spicer after meeting her at a bar and taking her back to his trailer. So you see, he was living at this trailer on the property of where he worked, which was called Joe Stein and Sons, and it was a pallet company. And if you can imagine, this big factory on a lot, and then the trailer was positioned on this lot, and the whole property was surrounded by gates. So it was also located at the end of a dead-end road, making it very isolated. Joe had convinced his boss to let him stay in that trailer so he could keep an eye on the place at night. So obviously this is perfect for everything Joe's trying to do. Joe takes Kimberly back to his trailer. He tried to come on to her and she resisted. So he killed her by stabbing her 26 times all over her body, including in her face and neck. And after she had already passed, he inserted a beer bottle inside of her. And that is how she was found, ultimately. She was found in that condition, which is just really, really disturbing. He claims that he also took a couple more, he calls them crack whores, to his trailer, killed them, and butchered up their bodies. And in a later confession, Austin, he said, quote, "I cut the meat up and put it in some Tupperware bowls and then put it in a freezer. I buried the remains in several shallow graves in little woods behind the company. And over the next couple weeks on the weekends, I opened up a little open pit beef stand. I had real roast beef and pork sandwiches. The human body tastes very similar to pork."
Oh my God. What year did this happen?
96.
Okay, listen, I don't mean to go off topic. I've heard before, like back in like the 40s or the 50s, there was a guy that used to murder people and he would sell their all their like meat. Mm-hmm. And people said that it tasted like a sweet pork and it was super good and people didn't know that they were eating human.
Yeah. He literally finishes this quote saying, "If you mix it together, no one can tell the difference."
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
This sick fuck was grilling up human remains and serving them to customers, and nobody knew the difference. Like, let that sink in. How many times do you love going to, like, a food truck, and you just, like, you get the meat? Like, you just assume everyone is, like, a good person. I mean, I would imagine, let me, like, just for some benefit of the doubt, obviously, like, I would not be going to some factory parking lot and some creepy dude's, like, trailer open pit beef stand to buy my lunch. Like, that is just not, I wouldn't really trust it. But obviously, other people were, and business was booming because at one point he ran out of what he called his special meat and had to lure another woman to his trailer to, like, get more meat.
That's bonkers.
Can you imagine how many people out there found out after that? I wonder how many people were like, "Holy shit, I ate from that beef stand," like, or that food truck,
yeah,
or whatever.
I can't imagine finding out that you ate human.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
I can't either.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And The Epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/Spotify.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills, but it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So anyway, he goes out to lure another woman to get more meat. And the woman that he chose was Rita Kemper. And on December 8th of 1996, Joe lured Rita to his trailer and he started to assault her. He ripped her clothes off and knocked her unconscious, but she put up a pretty good fight. And at one point, she came to, Joe turned around for a moment, and she ran out the door. But remember, I said the whole property was surrounded by gates. So I think in his mind, he was like, she's not climbing over that gate. It's like an 8 or 10 foot tall gate. Well, miraculously, she came upon a stack of pallets that was right up against the gate, so she was able to climb those pallets and get over the gate and escape. So she ran down the road until a truck driver drove up and picked her up and took her to a gas station so that she could call the police. So at this point, Joe knew what was coming, so he asked a friend of his to help him bury the rest of Kimberly Spicer's body before the cops showed up. But the friend declined and ended up telling the police about it. So Joe was arrested, and he was ultimately sent to prison for the kidnapping and attempted sexual assault of Rita Kemper. He was sentenced to death for the murder of Kimberly Spicer, but that was later reduced to life in prison without parole. And he received a life sentence in the murder of Kathy Magaziner. And I don't know, I mean, I guess since he was acquitted of the other two murders of the men under the bridge, and then, I mean, I don't know if the names were ever even released of the other victims from that same night. I don't think anything ever came from that. He was acquitted from the charges of the two men, and then in regards to the man under the bridge and then the two other females, nothing ever happened, even though he admitted to it. But I guess there just wasn't enough evidence. There was no body ever found. So it's just crazy that you can like admit to something like that and nothing happened. But some people do that just for notoriety. So I guess they can't just take it at their word.
You got to give people like this the death penalty. Mm-hmm. Like you have to.
For sure. On August 5th of 2017, Joe Metheny was found dead in his prison cell at the age of 63. But before he died, he admitted, quote, "The only thing I feel bad about in any of this is I didn't get to murder the two motherfuckers I was really after, and that's my ex-old lady and the bastard she hooked up with," end quote.
Man, that's a psychopath.
Oh, complete psychopath. And in his confession letter, he has this whole letter written out. You can find the whole thing online that basically details this entire story. I just said it maybe a little more eloquently than he put it because he literally refers to every victim as a bitch or crack whore. But in this confession letter, he wrote, quote, "Well, that's my story. Horrible but true. So the next time you're riding down the road and you happen to see an open pit beef stand that you've never seen before, make sure you think about this story before you take a bite of that sandwich. Sometimes you never know who you may be eating. Ha, ha."
So he was a freak from beginning to end.
Yes. And Google Joe Metheny just to look at his picture. I'm going to post this picture on our Instagram and online, but Google Joe Metheny right now and look at the first picture that pops up. Okay. The guy is so creepy. Like, he looks exactly like what you would expect this man to look like.
It leads you to say Joe Metheny burgers. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, dear.
It's like Fat Bastard on Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm. But, like, worse.
Oh, my. Yeah, way worse.
Yeah. His teeth, his...
Oh, my gosh, look at that big old belly he's holding on to.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah, he's a dirtbag.
Total dirtbag.
His sandwiches look like, if these are them, they just look like regular burgers.
I don't know if there's any... I didn't actually see any pictures of sandwiches. That might just be...
Maybe just pictures of burgers.
Like, somebody trying to be funny. But it's not funny. It's disgusting.
That's wild.
So gross.
Speaking of the letter, okay, is the story done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on another topic, the letter. Okay, so if you don't know and you're listening, I collect stuff. I'm like, in the hobby of collecting sports memorabilia. Okay, I'm sure you've watched the Jeffrey Dahmer thing on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I haven't watched it because I'm not a weirdo. I know all these people have watched it. His stuff is selling for stupid amounts, memorabilia right now. People bought his Bible that was signed by him from his jail cell. His glasses, and I'm talking for like $25,000, $50,000. There was a housekeeper or a, I don't know, some sort of maid that before he went to prison has a bunch of his stuff and is auctioning it off, and she's made like well over $100,000. It's what? Pretty crazy, and people are collecting his stuff, yeah.
That is so sick. It reminds me of John Wayne Gacy, which we covered in episode 100. That at the end, people were selling his paintings because he was a painter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was trying to make money off of that while he was in prison before he died. But, yeah, I don't know. Who's collecting stuff like that? I mean, I know it takes all kinds, and there's weird people out there that...
Listen to this. Jeffrey Dahmer's prison glasses sold for $150,000. Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts. What kind of sick freak? Like, what do you do for a living to have $150,000 sitting around to buy Jeffrey Dahmer's glasses?
You can buy his urn for $250,000.
Like his urn with the ashes in it?
I guess so.
No way.
Yeah, that's what it says.
That makes me wonder if like museums, like creepy museums, are buying this kind of stuff, and maybe it's not like an independent person.
His prison Bible sold for $10,000, I think. It's nuts.
We've had some requests to cover that case, and I'm kind of torn on it because some people are like, "Oh my gosh, it's so overdone," and people idolize this guy, and they're making such a celebrity out of him. But then on the other hand, I'm like, this is a true crime podcast. We talk about crimes. We talk about real people.
I don't know anything about him, so.
And yeah, I mean, I only know from like what I've seen and heard myself. I'm sure there, like, you could easily do a deep dive on this guy. But if you are interested in us doing an episode, tell me your thoughts either way. Like, if you really don't think I should, or if you think we should. And I don't know. I mean, it is an upsetting story, but most of these are. I mean, this guy was making human sandwiches, so it's not like this is a lighthearted, rosy, unicorn and rainbows podcast. So...
Wasn't there another update on the Delphi murders from episode 37?
Oh my God, Austin, yes.
Okay. And just so you guys know, that wasn't scripted. I just pulled it up and I was searching Delphi on Kelly's phone. Mm-hmm. And I searched Delphi. Episode 37 was the episode, which I know was crazy. And I remember that
one. Well,
we just did
an update on it.
Yeah, we did on episode 101, there was an update too, which I don't even remember that.
But, I think I recorded it by myself.
Okay. So what happened?
So a guy, all I know right now is that a man named Richard Allen was arrested in connection with the case of Liberty German and Abigail Williams, these girls on the Delphi Bridge. We've covered it twice now. It is a very popular case. A lot of people know about this case and follow it.
The way I remember it was because this chick turned her phone on video, and you can hear this guy say, "Down the hill."
Yes, exactly. And there was actual, like, a picture of the guy crossing the bridge. Mm-hmm. So in the update, we discussed a lot about Keegan Klein and his involvement because he was behind this catfish account that was talking to one of the girls, pretending to be this other guy. And so a lot of people thought Keegan was, like, luring her out there. We still don't know to the true extent of what Keegan Klein's involvement was. But recently, Richard Allen was arrested. He's in jail. They even put him in a special part of the jail for his safety. This guy lived 5 minutes from the bridge. And I don't know what information they have. Like, I don't know what drew them to him. But they're going to do a press conference on Monday, which is the day this episode is going to air, Monday the 31st. So Halloween. I'm going to be listening to that. I will post an update after I gather all that information. But yeah, crazy. It's so crazy. So stay tuned for that because I will be posting an update with or without you.
Because that Delphi one happened what year?
Oh, I think it was 2017.
And it's just now getting... Like, it's crazy that they're still pursuing it.
Well,
it's good.
Of course. I mean, yeah, they have to. But it seemed like for such a long time, there was no update. There was like, no information hope. Being withheld. And so it was just like, gosh, is this ever going to get solved? Like, yeah, it left a lot of people without any hope because it was just like, how on earth are they going to find this random guy? But then this guy is arrested, and there's a picture of him, Austin, online. He's sitting in a bar, and on the wall behind him is a picture of the sketch that they released of the suspect. It's so, it gives me the chills.
You got the goosebumps?
Yeah, I got the goosebumps. And yeah, this guy has kids. He has a daughter and a wife. He has at least a daughter. He might have more. And there's a picture like of his daughter posing on the bridge, like for like, it looks like maybe a senior picture or like a professional picture.
On the bridge where he killed these girls.
Where he allegedly may have, because we don't know for sure what he was even charged with. But there was apparently a picture of his daughter that was taken on that bridge.
That's wild.
Insanity. So we will be coming out with an update. Stay tuned for that. I'm going to come out with that either Monday or Tuesday as soon as I watch that conference, because that was just like, holy cow. And then, of course, we, or I, was really heavy following the Daryl Brooks trial. So I might have to tell you about that, because that really consumed much of my attention for like Darryl the last couple
is
weeks.
Is this the guy that like drove into a parade?
Yes.
And then wasn't he like psycho and said he didn't drive into the parade? Or like it's not me?
He represented himself, and it was just a dumpster fire watching this online. But
he's guilty.
Yeah, he was found guilty. And so he's going to be, well, there's a hearing tomorrow to discuss when the sentencing is going to take place. So I'll probably post an episode about that and the details of all of that after we actually hear what his sentence is going to be, which I'm sure is going to be life in prison without parole, because Wisconsin does not have the death penalty. But if they did, he would certainly deserve it. Okay, that was a lot of updates. I totally did not intend on ending this episode with all of that, but thank you for bringing it up, because I needed to, so.
Yeah, babe.
All right, listen, hey. This week we're going to be probably coming out with a bunch of updates.
So. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Be safe. Have fun. And look out for all the drugs they're giving out in the candy nowadays.
Yeah. Nobody cares enough about your kids to give them free fentanyl and free drugs. That is so ridiculous to me.
Every year it's like, look out for the weed starburst.
You know what it's similar to? You know what it's similar to is the people who are like, oh my gosh, have you heard about these furries in school? And they're having to put litter boxes in bathrooms because these kids want to be furries. And you've not, there's not one single school. If you Google it, you cannot find a single school where that is actually happening.
I know they're doing furry shit, whatever that is.
Well, sure. But like, there's not actually litter boxes in bathrooms. Like, yeah. I don't think that that's actually happening, but it's just, you know, it's like a attention grabber to be like, oh, there's drugs and razor blades in your candy.
Hey, if you've listened this far, please give us a positive review, because we're probably going to get one or two people that are like, these people made jokes about candy and drugs and made jokes about furries.
They talk too much. Okay. Anyway,
Mama,
we're out.
Mystery. Out.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.